Today's reading is from Revelation 2, verse 8 to 11. This is what you must write to the angel of the church in Smyrna. I am the first and the last. I died, but now I am alive. Listen to what I say. I know how much you suffer and how you are poor, but really you are rich. I also know the cruel things being said about you by people who claim to be Jews, but they are not really Jews. They are a group that belongs to Satan. Do not worry about what you will suffer. The devil will throw some of you into jail, and you will be tested and made to suffer for 10 days. But if you are faithful until you die, I will reward you with a crown of life. If you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever overcomes will not be hurt by the second death.
What an amazing message that Jesus wrote to that church in Smyrna. It's a powerful message, it's a humbling message, and I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us with some of those same words this afternoon. And I'm just going to say a few things, make a couple of comments, really as by way of a kind of exhortation and an encouragement to all of us to keep going. Because, you know, the Christian walk is meant to be something that you embark on and then you keep going with it every single day for the rest of your life until the day that you die. Did you know that? You know, one of the massive, brilliant, I think, fantastic symbols in the baptism service is that symbol of kind of crossing a line and no going back. That's why you throw yourself in that water, or somebody else throws you in and dunks you down under. Hopefully you're willing in the process. And you come back out and it's like you've gone past this point of no return. You're saying to the Lord, Lord, that's it. Now I've done it. I've done all my thinking, I've done all my questioning, I've done, you know, maybe not all of my doubting, but I've done my kind of my questioning about whether this is really the right move for me, if I can really trust you with my whole life, and now I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'm yours forever. And you go down in the water and it's a picture of going down into death, because what you're saying is, that's it now, my life's yours, and I'm not going to try and take it back from you. There's no going back. And this is the kind of faithfulness that Jesus is calling for from this church in Smyrna. This is the kind of commitment to him that he was looking for. And the thing was, he wasn't asking for it cheaply. He wasn't talking to those people as though this was going to be the easiest thing in the world for them to do. He wasn't talking to them as though, you know, following me, yeah, it's a breeze. It's a great big bless-up party every single day of the year. You'll never have another problem again. I'll sort out all of your issues and you'll just be fine in the blink of an eye, and then there'll never be anything challenging. It's not the message, is it, that Jesus is bringing to this church? And yet he's still calling on them and saying, in the midst of all the pressure that's going to come, be faithful. And I've just been thinking about how few things there are in life that actually demand us to say, I'm going to do this until I die. There's not many, are there? I mean, certainly not mobile phone contracts anymore. You know, back in the day when mobile phones were first invented, your contract was a bit like that. Oh, you've got to be on this until you die. Some people's providers are still a bit like that. But now, you know, you can chop and change pretty easily. You can even keep your number, move to another provider or whatever. It's just people don't expect loyalty for any length of time. It's still there, isn't it, in the marriage vows. It's thought about already, till death parts us. You know, there's an expectation that we're doing this till we die. That's the promise, that's the hope, that's the commitment, that's the aim that we're going for. But really apart from that, not too many other things. I wonder if there's much in our lives that we might feel passionately enough about to actually give our lives for it. Maybe some of us might feel, you know, perhaps our children, we might lay down our lives for our children. Perhaps we feel we are doing that every day. Family members, loved ones, maybe we might die for them if we thought that it would save them. But I wonder if it came to it, would we give our lives for Jesus and to be faithful to Jesus? Because that's what these guys in Smyrna were being prepared for. It might just cost you your very life before it's time. I was thinking about martyrs, those who lay their lives down because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I was reading a book about it, and I thought about reading you some stories from it, but then I decided they probably are a bit too harrowing for this context. But it's a great book that you should get hold of and have a look at if you can, called Jesus Freaks. And it's called that because it's actually all about mostly teenagers around the world in lots of different situations, different contexts, who've been called upon to lay down their lives as martyrs for Jesus, that because of their faith, they were put to death. And they're very, very moving stories, many of them, and the courage and the devotion and the determination of these young people who didn't want to give in, who wanted to proclaim the name of Jesus right until the end, is very, very moving. And I urge you to kind of get hold of that book and read it, because sometimes it puts ourselves, our lives and our pressures and our challenges into perspective. Because I think that martyrs are probably rarely made just in the moment. I think, I could be wrong, but I think there's probably been a whole lot of steps up to that one big, momentous, final choice, Christ or die. I think there's probably been an awful lot of other choices, day by day by day, where those people who end up giving their lives to Jesus in that way have laid themselves down, said no to themselves, said no to the flesh, said yes to Jesus when the pressure came on. I think martyrs are probably the product of 1,000 little choices, 1,000 little daily dyings to self, refusing to give in to the things that we know draw us away from Jesus Christ. And that kind of life, the kind of life that is continually, day by day by day, being laid down before the Lord for his purposes, that's a life that in the end is faithful until death. However that death may come, that's the kind of life that is faithful. And it's a life that's really precious to the Lord. And it's a life, the scripture says, that is rewarded. And these verses say it's rewarded with an overcomer's blessing. So I want to leave us with three little encouragements from this letter today. First of all, be faithful, verse 9, because the Lord knows what you're going through. Did you notice how in verse 9 it says, I know your sufferings, and I know that you're poor, although really, says Jesus, you have everything. You're rich because you have me. But be faithful, brothers and sisters. Stick with Jesus. Don't give in to the things that day by day seek to pull us away from him and make us unfaithful in some way. Don't do it, because the Lord is saying to you, I know that pressure. I know the feeling you're under. I understand it. I've lived it. I am living it with you. I'm not a God who's far off, putting you through some sort of terrible test and watching you from a distance. I'm the kind of God who's right next to you in the pain, in the suffering, in the challenge, in the temptation, when it's so strong you just can't get your mind around how to choose Jesus instead of this alternative thing that is calling you to worship. And in that moment, the Lord is assuring you, I know it, and I'm there. I'm right there. You know, the Psalms promise us the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's near to those people wherever there are broken hearts, wherever there is that sense of crushing and feeling overwhelmed by all that's pressing in. The Lord says to you this afternoon, I know, I'm with you, I'm close by, I understand it. So don't give up, be faithful, because you will find, if you reach out for me, that I'm closer than you think. Secondly, be faithful. In verse 10 it says, because he's not going to leave you unprepared for what lies ahead. Not if you're listening. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And in verse 10, the Lord gives them the heads up about the future. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. It's very specific. So that you'll be tested and you'll have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful. And I want to encourage us this afternoon that the Lord wants to speak to us and prepare us more for what lies ahead. And so he's asking for your ears this afternoon. He's saying to you, he who's got an ear to hear, listen. Take more time in my presence listening to the things that I want to say to you, because actually there are some things I want to give you the heads up about. There are some things that lie ahead that may be a challenge, and I want to prepare you and equip you and give you what you need. But because you're just kind of like waltzing through life and really only talking to me and crying out to me when something's gone wrong or something doesn't go the way that you thought it would, and then you're like, Lord, why is this happening? And sometimes, you know what the Lord is saying? I wanted to talk to you about this. But he never really gave me any time. Sound familiar? It does in my life. It does in my life. I wanted to talk to you about this, but I didn't really have your ear very much. And I believe the Lord wants to say to us in these days, please give me your ears. Please let me speak. Please listen. Please give me your heart, because I want to give you equipping and preparation for some of the things that lie ahead, to give you strength and courage in order to weather them. I was thinking about a lady once that asked me to pray for her, and I had a picture for her about a boat going through a really stormy season, but then coming to land in a safe and solid place. When I shared it with her, she seemed a bit annoyed, I think. I think she thought it was a bit of a discouraging picture, you know, there's a storm ahead. And I felt a bit bad afterwards, actually, for sort of saying that to her. But it was interesting, because I didn't see her again for another couple of years, but 2 years later, I saw her again, and she said, oh, I wanted to say to you, Debbie, that the last time I saw you, you prayed for me and you had this picture. And she said, at the time, she admitted it, so at the time I kind of dismissed it, because I thought, oh, that's a bit of a negative word, isn't it? I'm not really interested in that. And she said, but just a couple of days after that, something had emerged in her marriage, and suddenly everything was blown up in the air, and the marriage went into a very, very rocky period and eventually broke down. And she came to me and she said, I've been wanting, you know, this all this time to say to you thank you, because she said, when it all happened, I suddenly realized, oh Lord, you were trying to help me, to give me courage and reassurance for what was to come. You're trying to speak to me through that. And it gave her peace that she was going to come through the other side and be on that solid ground again. And I believe the Lord wants to talk to us. We won't know everything that's ahead of us, but the Lord wants to speak to us and prepare us and equip us if we give him ears to hear. Last thing to say, be faithful, because he wants to reward us with glory as an overcomer. He wants to reward us with glory as an overcomer in those last days when we stand before the Lord in glory. He wants to give us an overcomer's blessing, an overcomer's reward, a crown of life, it says, that goes on into eternity. Verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. You know, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to have ahead of us in our lives that desire that on that final day when we stand before the Lord, that he might say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. It's an awesome thing, isn't it, to hope for? But actually, that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants to be able to commend us. He wants to be able to pour over us all the affirmations of, well done, you lived your life solely for me. You laid it down day by day. You let me work out my purposes through you as best you knew how. Well done, good and faithful servant. And to those who die in the Lord, the scripture tells us that we're going to be part of the first resurrection from the dead. That's the reward, that we get caught up in that great triumphal entry as Jesus comes back to the earth and all those who loved him and loved him till they died get raised up to kind of be with him in that beautiful triumphal procession. And what a reward, what an amazing thing. Yes, Lord, this is what we were living for. This is what we were hoping for, the day that you were going to come back. This is what we were working for all that time. This is what we were praying for all that time. This is why we tried to speak to our neighbors. This is why we have prayer times early in the morning for our friends and the people that we work with. This is why we went down our street and invited everyone to the Christmas service. This is why we did these things that seem so small, but we were doing it, Jesus, because we want you to come back. We want to get the gospel out there. We want to fulfill your great commission. We want to do the things you've given us to do, because you're coming back and you're waiting to come back once this good news has been preached to the ends of the earth. And the Lord wants people who are excited about that triumphal moment when he does return. Those are the ones that he's going to raise up with him on that day and bring in that triumphal procession. And I want to be part of that. I don't want to miss out on that. But it's going to mean day by day by day presenting my life to the Lord again and saying, Lord Jesus, I said I'm in this till I die. I don't know what day that's going to be, but here's another day. You take it. You live something through it. You do something good with it. My life's not up to much, but if I give it into your hands, you'll do something that's like gold or silver. You'll bring something forth that is precious and lasting and doesn't just die away when these earthly things drop away from us at the end of our lives. We want to have lives, don't we, that build with silver and gold, that work hard at the things that last forever. Love and truth and forgiveness and beauty and all the things that we see in Jesus. Self-sacrifice, obedience, humility. We want to have lives that are going for those things. We want to have lives that are hanging on to those things, because those are the things that are going to go into eternity with us. So I just want to give us an opportunity to renew our commitment to the Lord today. You know, perhaps it's been a long time since we've said to him, here's my life, Lord. I'm not taking it back. I'm not going to try and do something my own way with it. It's still yours. It's still in your hands. However you want to use me, whatever you want to do with me, here it is. Maybe we just want an opportunity to pray that kind of a prayer again. So let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's just let the Lord speak into our own hearts. What is it that's been trying to pull you away from your faithfulness to Jesus and to his ways and his word? Just choose him again afresh in your heart, because he knows what you're going through. And he wants to equip you and speak to you about the things that lie ahead. And he's got a reward for your faithfulness. And on your tables, in the pots in the middle, you'll find a little card with a prayer on it. We're going to use that now. So if you want to find one, just grab a hold of it. Get it in front of you. It's a little card. And it says at the top, Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. This is a prayer that John Wesley encouraged his disciples, his followers, those who were learning from him, to pray regularly as a kind of recommitment of their lives. And what I want us to do is, you can have it in front of you, but we're actually going to read it. I'll read a line and then you repeat it back to me, because then we kind of get to think about what we're saying and we'll kind of hear it as well as see it. Is that okay? And if you don't want to pray this prayer for whatever reason, because it is actually a pretty powerful prayer, submitting our lives into Jesus' hands, and if we're not really sure that we want to pray it or that we mean it, you don't have to have all the courage to fulfill it, because that's what the Holy Spirit comes and brings to you. when you pray this kind of thing, but you have to at least have the heart, the will, the desire. Lord, I want my life to be yours. And if you've got that, pray it along or pray it after me as I read it line by line. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you. Or laid aside for you. Exalted for you. Or brought low for you. Let me be full, or let me be empty. Let me have all things, or let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen. They're powerful words, aren't they? And they represent that kind of daily dying. And our challenge for you this month is to take that prayer that we've just prayed, put it in your Bible or put it somewhere safe, pin it on your bathroom mirror, I don't know. But keep coming back to it as the month goes on. Keep coming back to it. Keep surrendering your life into the Lord's hands. Keep saying, Lord, I want to choose you and be faithful to you every day of my life, however long that's going to be. I want it to serve your purposes. And that's our challenge to take away with us. Amen.